Yesterday, his blood and entrails spilled over the trap and onto the fallen carpet of the living room. I felt a wave of nausea and of pity as well, for we'd been playing hide and seek for weeks. Once he dashed across the flaming cooker hob, sidestepped the frying pan and disappeared. He liked to join me in the evenings, watching a good movie on TV, despite his short attention span. How did he seal his fate? It came down really to poor personal hygiene on his part, not mine. If you're squeamish, then stop right here. Firstly, a black and fecal speck in the sugar bowl. And finally, the butter dragged from its dish overnight. Forensics showed distinctive rodent claw prints. If he had been house trained and reduced his intake of saturated fat, we would still be friends.
Connor. Connor. Yes. This one island in Australia, it's by Nick Cave, it's called Henry Lee. Hope you like it.
Get down to Henry Lee and stay the night with me. You won't find a girl in this damn world that will compare with me. No wind, dear, no wind. La 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 herself against a fence just for a kiss or two, and with a little penknife in her hand, she plugged him through and through. And body is lily white, and I'll take him by his feet and drop him in this deep, deep well, which is more than 100 feet. And the wind in the morning, and the wind in the morning, and the bird down here. Now there, little Henry Lee, and in the flesh, my bones, for the girl you had in that merry green land was forever for you to come home. For the wind did moan, and the wind did la-la-la-la-la, a little girl looked down with Henry Lee.
In the garden of luscious vegetables, globe artichoke, punk purple, looks ready to headbutt, hiding choked hearts. Tomato tugs on the cord of the vine, belly ripe, knife ready. Aubergine, innocent, large purple eggs. Their cousins, nightshaded and deadly. Carrot in raised beds, dreamed about fly infestation, awakened to orange perfection. Endive in a sizzle of green, long for the drizzle of virgin oil. Asparagus, erect in bare earth, await fingers to lift them buttery to lips. Mushroom appear on the lawn, bad fairies spreading dark magic. This is, I have no name for it yet, but an old house. Tracks on the laneway veer to the fields, above the ditch an electric fence ticks like a slow heartbeat. The gate is gone, the avenue a stagger of ancient trees. The old house squats between privet and briar, power cables feeding through the front door as if to resuscitate the dereliction. The room pulses as if charged, leads terminating in a box that dangles from the from where the sanctuary lamp once glowed, where Jesus exposed his thorn-fenced heart. A wireless sits in the corner, mute as a penitent. Saints hang skewed on the walls, topped by pale coronets of swallowsness. The drawing room, where spode and bone china lustered in glass cabinets, empty now. On the hearth, a fall of twigs and feathers. Thank you.
Julie.
I started writing a thesis a few weeks after my daughter was born, about 4 years ago, and I finally finished it last week, so I reflected on that and just wrote a poem about both of them kind of going together. Academia Nut. My thesis was born several weeks after my child. The wounds healed, a blank canvas once more. They were rare little twins alongside one another, colliding, intertwining, surprising. I juggled gaga sounds with academic nouns. When one would sleep, I'd tend to the other. If I sniffed a stale stench, I knew one of them had to be changed, cleansed, erased. Words in books I had not read cast shadows on those sunny days spent at the park. Having sung a lullaby to manipulate a miniature mind to sleep, myself I'd have to push start once more, pick my brain up off the floor and sit and read and think and write. Those days when life spat unforeseen curses and the sky rained shit, to my children I turned. Each would calm me, steady me, need me. Now my pages are printed, my child speaks her own mind. Both have evolved, blood, sweat, tears, with lots of laughter. The book is bound out of my hands, set free in the world, how fast a girl goes. Thank you.
first name, Emmett.
This form is basically me just giving my point of view to a doormat. Look at me. Now, who are you? I've been going hard all week. But where were you? I have my ups and my downs. I'm sure you do too. This is not life. However sad but true. Do I not laugh? Do I not cry like you? Do not breathe or even bleed like you? I'm a lot of men which exists like you. But unlike me, I don't steal from you. Steal, I observe you ponder. What do you steal? Here, try on these shoes in which you put so much esteem in. And I let you know how I feel. I don't rob a man for enjoyment and a good night out. I don't ask him questions with suspicion, then listen with doubt. I don't snatch away the simple expectations of a mind and a friend's. While taking into a girl's age at face value, when you know the pretend. I don't look down my nose upon others and act the big man. Think I'm rough, think I'm tough, but if they say it's a sham. You don't know me from Adam, you never seen me before. So why so judgmental as I step to the door? Can you not let me in? Is this too much to ask? But if I'm so bold steady, maybe you see the task. Maybe you see the threat, see the chore. Insecure, and realize you're not all that with your job or the door. Is this not a fact that I speak, the truth I impute? Could call your gang for a man, just one man that disputes. I'm still here, I'm not running, not petitioning, please. If I'd rather get beaten my feet than retreat my knees. So what can I call this? That they don't need of a word? Is it prejudice or intolerance, or just simply absurd? If I can only know who I be, and only be who I am, yet you only see the shirt and the shoes, and never the man. Never the nature, the character, or the pitiful friend. Never the money, the same colour that's not worthy to spend. And this is nothing you've learned, it's only something you're taught. How you can only put faith in the letter of the clause. Whether not nationals all around, or enjoying my city, or in bar, bread and buttered, and ignored, it's a pity. It's a shame, it's a disgrace, it's this hypocrisy, it's mockery. You have no answers to questions, you have no reasons for stopping me. But these are your actions to let you do what you do. Because they don't reflect bad against me. They just reflect mad towards you. Enjoy a little ride for a while. Your little trip, while it lasts. The power is always seeking new commuters until the journey has passed. And as it draws near to your stop, and you're way past your clock, then that's when your ego will suddenly drop. Smash it, the shards of fabrications in the air. It's your pseudo supremacy, which displays no substance, no chemistry, is now exposed for the charade that it is. I hope you live, now knowing this is the life that you live. I sincerely pray and never know the answer. Feed on actuality as if reality had cancer, consume as objective truth. But what can you do? And what will you do? Now the earth has formed and our opinion of you.
Amen.
Okay, I apologize, but the next reader, I cannot read or decipher your first name, but your surname is Davis Fletcher.
Emily!
I'll help you with this. But your E's look like a B.
Thank you. This is called instinct. This sacred curse bends our knees and necks, opens our arms and legs in the dark to become one great gaping mouth, gnashing fleshy teeth, sucking, sharing breath, and in the day rolls us into a switching tail flicking, light pressed between us into a sticky veil. You slip through, free to piss and smoke, drink and foam. Even before you give me lingerie, like offering a cherry, and the word therapy whips about, giving an answer, sacrifice enough. You steal your shoes and collect your tools, tobacco, lighter, leather jacket, wallet, to search for your old self. I chase you barefoot through spit rain streets to coax you home. But the longer you are called, the longer you stay on, chopping off your ears and tongue with repeated blades of drink to save yourself from doubts beating inside. Home, I charge red face upstairs, stomping out your shadow, slapping at your back, so you shake and throw me down, rolling bone by bone. My questions play dead, go limp, pushed aside by silence rising between us. Arms folded, we wait, listen for that confident knock from your cops. Sharp and sheepish in blue uniforms of right angles, they pry us into separate corners, take our versions, and leave with our names and birth dates for a worthless lottery. You gather up your needs, tobacco, lighter, leather jacket, wallet, and walk into rain, licking you, feeling clawed. Alone, I rush to all the mirrors for echoes of what? An oversensed face burning through dry, taut skin like paper. Losing symmetry to primal shapes and colors. Two overwatered eyes languish on sunken, thin-skinned bellies cut with folds. Veins stop forming on the surface like frozen bolts of lead. I graze over my budding bruises. These tender horns press me for your whereabouts, whether you are under someone else's skin or not. The last horn pulses under my fingertips, kisses, is more curious, wonders less and less about you, grows into a horn of mercy, curls into a seed springing self.
May the electricity between these bodies sing to catch the union through the rainbow of a broken viewfinder into an image preserving your glory. Suddenly it doesn't matter that I have no sense of society. Rather, in focused privilege, I feel the cadences of parallelized sizes of life. Barbed and broken in motion by yourself, electrocuted by the same aperture you once used to frame me. This is for your pleasure and yours alone.
Seamus. James.
We had a workshop here earlier, and I just want to say I've done many, many workshops, and tonight I can safely say, after 30 years in education, I can safely say tonight was completely outstanding. But thank you, Fiona. Work out. Take a brisk walk in fresh air. Skip that piece of pie. Show your body you really care. Grab something loose to wear. Get out and see that sky. Take a brisk walk in fresh air. Ignoring driver's gridlock glare as you jog breezing by, showing that body you really care. Earpieces tressed in locks of hair. Let that sleeping collie lie. Take a brisk walk in fresh air. Shedding burdens layer by layer. You'll not feel the least bit shy, showing that body you really care. Go ahead, embrace that dare. You'll experience such a high. Take a brisk walk in fresh air. Show your body you really care.
That's like praise for him. Mary. Mary Claire.
If you should go, if you should go to die as we all must, what would I do, you say? How would I bear the loss? Well then, my friend, I'd hurt and grieve. I could not tell you otherwise, for friendship can't deceive. But I would hear your laughter in the river, and catch your joyous singing in trees, and I would feel your touch and all your caring, sitting on a hillside in the breeze. If you should go to die as we all must, then I would just hold on to love in endless trust, to love in endless trust. For could I be your friend, or say I care, if miserly I only seek myself despair? If you should go to die as we all must, before my fragile body turns to dust, and I was left stranded on this shore, then friend, I'd say, I could not wish for more. For love can never cease in case of loss, nor grieving love a cause for counting costs.
That's your first time, or have I not been here in a while? Somebody's been there forever. Niall.
Touching the earth. Killeena, West Cork. With apologies to WB. Now, Fiona had a poem interfering with a great man's words. This is my attempt. They left the urban scene and went to Killeena, to a timber cabin there of dark-stained pine logs made. Nine earth rows they dig and sow, hives for the vanishing bee. Oak and ash they have planted in the high beech glade. Encircled by the bluebells and white thorn of May, now they are better grounded, an earthy change of gold. Dark, crumbly compost enriches the stony clay, for bean shoots to twine tendrils on hazel poles. They are finding peace there, peace that seeps in slow, through the cobweb dew of morning, where the skylark sings. The bog of night is silvered, and gorse at noon aglow, and dusk is often full of fleet swallows' wings. Far from the hectic crowd, always night and day, they hear stream water gurgle through the mossy rocks. And even when in the city or on the motorway, in the mind's ear the curlew's cry, the lone call of the fox. They visit farmers' markets for taste bud tingling foods, and chop up deadwood for the stove, while desert oil runs dry. And though they curse the drizzle, it's part of nature's moods, and night might bring a thousand stars in the dark velvet sky. Thanks.
Okay, the last one on the list, Simon.
This poem was written as someone's only defense against the powerlessness felt when you learn that someone that you loved, someone that you do love, had tried to kill themselves. It's called Little Star. You sit with a cold wall at your bare back, your legs bent against you, and with an empty quiver, you consider if you're ready again. If you ever attempt something and fail in retreat, take time. Treat it as if it had been intended. Believe that for everything a reason. Stoop. Gather up your every arrow. your heart, your soul, your sinew, your voice, your hands, your grip, your tools, your veins, your blood, your heart, your hate, your love. Reach for them. Grope through the cloud around you. Take them up from where they lie, scattered, as if they had been seeds sprinkled upon the deep sea's floor, or snowflakes landing invisibly in a flat black field having melted as they fell, or a falling star abandoned in flight by a light that, even though it dwindles, will twinkle still, having come to ground on the skyward side of a night's white cloud that you've seen once in a dream, but you cannot forget.